coming out. Busy Friday morning, Chol Hamoed Pesach. It's a big schus to have a Rav Nachman Klein Shlita. We all know very well. We had the schus of learning a lot by Rav Yosher Soloveitchik, and on his 20th yahrzeit, come and tell us over some of his Torah today and a little less personality today.
I didn't learn in Yeshiva University. I was one of the first graduates from Chafetz Chaim here in 1947. So three or four of my friends went to YU from here. Shohan, Rashbaum, a couple others, Kurtzberg. So I heard from them. And then I realized there was such a person like that who said a marvelous shiurim. So I would go, when I was in Neir Yisrael, I would sneak out on Gimel Shvat, that was when the Yahrzeit was, sneak out. And the Rosh Yeshiva would be asking for me, where's Klein at? So somebody said that he went to New York. So he figured out what it was. He says, I don't tell you this for COVID. He says, yeah, Nachman Klein, he says, he's got big Yetzer Haras. He says he got a Yetzer Hara to hear Torah from Soloveitchik. So it was a big Yetzer Hara. I mean, it looks like some of you may have been there to see it. It was an experience that I don't think people can experience right now. The closest would have been a Dafayomi experience. We had 5,000 people come to here. And who was there? Lakewood, Chaim Berlin, all these yeshivas, a ladies' gallery, and some of the gallery got filled all the way in the back in the corners. There were a few women hearing the shiurim. The shiur started at 7 o'clock in the morning, at 7 o'clock in the evening, and we were lucky if it finished at 2 o'clock. And he was fasting, because it was the yahrzeit, he fasted on the yahrzeit. And I don't know how you could speak 7-8 hours without drinking a glass of water, but he managed to do that. And that was Lekovit, his father, and then he also gave later on Lekovit, his mother. I never heard those. And a few times I snuck into his regular weekday shear. If I came a day early, I went into that. So I had a little bit of shaychus to him. And of course, the Tisha B'Av things, I never heard him directly, but I heard the tapes from all of them. And the tapes, there are a lot of great tapes. Somebody in New York called Nordlich, if you can get a hold of him, he's got 500 tapes of Rav Yoshe Ber. And there's one tape. See, I'm not going in order. I have it written down in order, but I'm just going as it comes. One tape was he said like this. The Chaim Meiser was Nifter in 1940, and Reb Lazer Silver in Cincinnati was a very, like he learned in a cheder in Vilna by, a machina of some sort, but Gedolim were in there. So he would be very friendly to Rav Yashu, to Rav Chaim Meiser. So when he was Nifter, Rav Lazer Silver was very close. So he sent to all the Talmid Chachamim in America, he sent train tickets at his cost to Cincinnati to hear him give a hesped on Rav Chaim Meiser. So Rav Lazer, so Soloveitchik says, and he says, wait, He said this at Reb Lazer Silver's Levaya in Yeshiva University. So he says, and do you think it was just a train ticket? He says, Eric Geshit sleepers. I don't know if anybody you know what a sleeper is, but they used to have trains that you could sleep on, and you don't, it's Geshit sleepers. So that was the COVID that Silver had for him. But that's the Reb Yoshe Ber. Anyway, as you, you know, his father, he was born in 1903, but his father early on took the Rabbonis in Chaslovitz. It was Chaslovitz was a Lubavitcher city, and he was a misnagid rub in a Lubavitcher city. And Reb Yoshe Ber grew up there. His Rebbe from Cheder was a Lubavitcher. And I went to a couple of shiurim, and he said that the Rebbe used to tell him that the first night of Rosh Hashanah is Koronatzianach. That's what he would call it, the crown. When we put the crown on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's head, the coronation night. But that's, so he had a belt of Lubavitcher inclinations that he called on, and you know, whether he understood the Kabbalah al pi the Gaon or al pi the Alter Rebbe, that I'm not sure exactly. I don't know on that. But so he was in Chaslitz. How did it happen that a Lubavitcher city got a Misnagdei Sherov? And it was Keseder. He wasn't the first one. What happened, the Alter Rebbe was in Chaslovitz. That's the Balatanya. The Alter Rebbe was in Chaslovitz. And Napoleon and his men came in, and they thought that he was like a counter-revolutionary or some kind of a force that was opposing Napoleon. So they searched him out and all the places he would hide. So there happened to be a Litvak there in the city. So he hid in the Litvak. And the people said, you know, he can't be in a Litvak house. So the Rebbe said, after he got saved, he said, Mikan l'habo, it's a Lubavitcher city, over every rav has to be a misnagid. And that's how Reb Moshe Soloveitchik became the rav in Chaslovitz. And Reb Yoshe Ber grew up in Chaslovitz. Now, after that, he took a shtela in Rasein, Reb Moshe Soloveitchik, Rasein, and so I heard from Mr. Walpert, I don't know if any of you knew him, Harry Walpert, he learned in Slabodka by Reb Baruch Ber, and he heard a lot of shurim from Reb Chaim, and he told me that the people of Rasein, Reb Moshe Soloveitchik came to Rasein, and, you know, for a probe, he sent over a Shver Rambam, and he sent a teretz on a Shver Rambam. So the people sent Reb Chaim Brisker a telegram. They said, Rebbe, to the, you don't know Yiddish. It says, Rebbe, to the Yidden in Rasein, the Rambam is Shver. Isn't it Shver? Either they don't care it's Shver, or the pshat is they have their own, who can answer it? And he says, and even if it is Shver, they write in a telegram, why do you need to come to Rasein to answer a Rambam? Why can't you answer the Rambam in Brisk? What's the difference? And really, that became Reb Chaim Brisker's shita. Reb Chaim Brisker held, as opposed to other gedolim, the main tachlis of a rav is to be the askin ha'ir, and the paskin the shilas, you hire a dayan, and the dayan paskins the shilas. Unless it gets to the real big shilas, then he consults with the rav. But the rav is an askin, and that's what that's the way Reb Chaim was in Brisk. He had a yeshiva, but mamish every little thing was there. I heard this from a rav a couple days ago from Boston. He said Rabbi Yoshua Beer had two Zetas. He had Rabbi Chaim Brisker was his Zeta, and Rabbi Elia Prujna Feinstein was his other Zeta. Rabbi Elia Prujna Feinstein, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein was his grandson, and Rabbi Yoshua Beer was the grandson of Rabbi Chaim. So there was this, they were cousins. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein and Rabbi Yoshua Beer were cousins. So Rabbi Yoshua Beer, as a little boy, or later on, he writes, he says, you know what the difference between the two Zetas are? He says, when I went to the Zeta's house, to Rabbi Chaim's house, he said, he was saying a shir for Brisker Rav, whoever it was, or Moshe, he was saying a shir. And all around the room, there was a benches. And Aniyim were sleeping on the benches. The Brisker Rav said he never slept in his own bed until he got married. Always Rav Chaim took away his bed from him and had it for Aniyim. And Rav Chaim wouldn't go to sleep at night until the last Ani was out. But he says his other Zeta, Evelia Prujna, was also, he made sure the Aniyim had of Rabbi Yoshua Beer said, the Andezeda had gesagt, mein Haus is nicht a hotel. So, but he, Avada, he was a big Baal Chesed. Then they moved, Moshe Soloveitchik moved to Rasein. So, there he was a row for a long time, for a while. And like I told you, the people in Rasein sent Rav Chaim that telegram, but he was there. And I heard from Ezra Ziff, if you know Rabbi Ziff in town here, he's very nice, he's good to know, he knows of Velta stories. Rabbi Ziff said his tante was a housemaid in their house, where Rabbi Moshe Soloveitchik and Rabbi Yoshua Beer and his brothers and sisters, where they were at. And the Zeta, Rabbi Chaim, like all Zetas, would come to visit the Enikloch, come to visit the Enikloch. So, that's in English, I don't know how to say it in Yiddish. So, when the Zeta would come, the Enikloch would say to Rabbi Chaim Brisker, Zeta, horsey back. So Reb Chaim Brisker got down on his hands and knees, and the kids went on his back. Reb Yoshua Beer and his brothers and sisters went on his back. And if he didn't go fast enough, they would schmeiß him. And they would say, giddy up, in Yiddish. Well, I don't know what it is in Yiddish, but they would say, giddy up to Reb Chaim Brisker. So you can imagine, you know, what a beginning of a life it was for a young mind to see the closeness from the Zeta, the lovingness from the Zeta, like he's Ma'urving Abrius. So that made a big impression. The next thing I wanted to tell you is he moved. He had gone to yeshiva there in Litte, but he went to Berlin in the early 20s, or middle 20s. He went to Berlin, and they had Reb Chaim Heller was the Rosh Yeshiva in Berlin. Berlin, even though it was Torah and Mada, it was not exactly, it was, they learned philosophy in the yeshiva, or they had an organization with the University of Berlin, or whatever the thing was called. So they had an agreement with them. And they went. The Rabbi Yoshua Beer got his PhD in the philosophy of Hermann Cohen. He wrote a book. He's got that and also the Lubavitcher Rebbe. The Lubavitcher Rebbe was there. I still remember the time that when the Lubavitcher Rebbe lost his wife in New York, Rabbi Yossi Beer went to be Menachem Avilim. The whole Welt was tumbling, you know, here, Soloveitchik goes to be Menachem Avil Lubavitcher. But anyway, they had it, and of all people too, for a brief time, Rabbi Yitzchak Kuttner was there. If any of you learn the Pachad Yitzchak, you'll see that one of the differences between Rav Soloveitchik and Rav Hutner is Rav Hutner, like on Chanukah, he talks about the different theories of beauty. On the Mechilas Kvodo, he's talking about Aristotle's theories and Kant's theories. All these have theories in beauty. And he doesn't say it in the name where he heard it from. Rav Yossi Beer did say in his lectures that this was this one sheet, that this one that sheet, that. But they learned there, and they associated it what was mutter to associate, or they just showed it for you as contrast, that this is what they goyim say, and this is what I say, what we say. So that was his time in there, and he got his PhD, and he moved to New York, and he went to Boston, and his father got the shtela in Yeshiva University. This must have been in the early 30s. I remember we davened when I was a child. We davened in the Sheretzvilla in the park. And Nathan Drazen was the rabbi, and he was a Talmud of Reb Moshe Soloveitchik. And we had, in the shul, we had a microphone. He gave a hector for a microphone. And the joke in town was Chizik Amuna, which was on the borderline of being from Chizik Amuna, Rabbi Koblenz did not allow a microphone. But here the Orthodox did have a microphone. And the Rosh Yeshiva were having a fit with all of that, how such things could happen. But, you know, well, maybe, you know, in Eretz Yisrael, they're working on how to have kosher microphones with transistors and all that modern technology. But there was a very, so Reb Moshe came to New York. He was the Rav, and the Rosh Yeshiva. And you think that it was Stam, a college thing? You want to know who said shiurim in Yeshiva University? Reb Shimon Shkup said shiurim in Yeshiva University. Who learned there? Reb Mordechai Gifter learned there. Reb Pinchas Scheinberg learned there. We're talking in the 30s. They were learning it. That was the only yeshiva. There was Torah Vadas to some minor extent. The young people here, you think that the world is like you see it today. It's a mistake. It's not that way at all. In Baltimore, my age, there must have been 20 Shomer Shabbos. And my kids, 20 Shomer Shabbos. So it's people going. Nobody's going to send a kid in that situation to a Lakewood or to a lot of them went to YU because they felt comfortable. It wasn't that type of a commitment. And there was no Agud in America at that time. There was only Mizrahi. I even heard that my Rosh Yeshiva, until Aguda came, he was a member of the Mizrahi. And Rav Yossi Beer certainly was the Mizrahi in the RCA. And it was a different world in the 30s here than we see it today. And a lot of things you have to factor that in into the way that their mindset was. So, okay. So one of the things Reb Yosher Bear did was his Rebbe from Berlin, Reb Chaim Heller, he didn't really have a parnosa. He also said a shir once in a while. He was a litvish gon. If you ever read his form, on Chayshe Mishpat, you know, it's not like a sefer. They quote the Machaber and the Mefarshim and the Tzais and then the Sivas. He hits the ground running. He assumes you know the Tzais and the Sivas and the Prima Gaudims and Viter. He starts from there. It's unbelievable, Reb Chaim Heller. So, but he didn't have a parnasa. So listen to what Reb Yosher Bear did for him. At that time, in the 40s, I still remember it in Baltimore very little. There was the Haskalah. We had people who were teaching kids in the cheder. They were from the Maskiling. How many people here know Digduk from cheder? Nochim Pei Lamed. How many, all the Gezeris. Who knows that? None of them learn it. You don't learn Digduk and Ivrit anymore and Yeshivas anymore. But in those days, they taught learned that. That's all part of the Haskalah. They held that the Hebrew language is beautiful language. And that's the main thing about being a Jew, is knowing the Hebrew language and speaking the Hebrew language, like, unfortunately, a lot of people in Eretz Yisrael feel the same way today. So Rav Heller was, he campaigned against the Haskalah. How did he do that? So for maybe 5 years, I heard this from Reb Shmuel Shulman, who actually went to one. For 5 years or so, Reb Yosher Bear got him set up in a hotel in downtown New York, as the Broadway Central or something like that. I don't think it doesn't exist anymore. He got him there, and once a week for 2 months in the summer, before everybody went on vacation, like in June and July, he would say shiurim of 4 or 5 hours against the Haskalah. And his learning of Chumash is unbelievable. Say, for instance, the Maskilim say that Devarim is, stylistically, Devarim is different than the rest of the other four Chumashim, and it's absolutely true. So they said, therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't write that, and they didn't write Devarim. We learned that, oh, the first it's different because Shechina Medaberes to Achrono, and Dvarim is Nevuas Moshe. All right, that's it. But he went into long Arichasin to fight off all the Haskalah, all these things from Tanakh. He was an expert at Tanakh. I just want to show you, listen to it. It's one gorgeous vart that I heard from Reb Shmuel Shulman, who was there. There are two words, Nesina and Sima. Seem like they're the same thing. To placing and to place, to give or to place, is it seem like the same word. So it says, Komacha Shesap Yisraim, Lo Asima Bach, Unasona Bachol Sanacha. So Chaim Heller brought a raya from a Gemara in Bachim, in Soite, that the shear from Paramilchus Soite, one has the Shem and Levon is Osir. So one is Aser B'kol Shehu, because it says Sime. And the one that's Aser B'shir, that says Nesina. So he says, Komacha Shesampi B'tzrayim Lo Sima Boch, even a Kol Shehu. Aber Tzidagoyim Unisonim, I'll give my ganze shir klept. That's what the Rebbe Shlom said. But that's not the word. Listen to this beauty. He says the Rambam in his sefer on it, Ed the Tefillah brings a Nusach HaTefillah. So our Nusach HaTefillah is who yiftach beibes harasov v'yosem v'libeinu avoso v'yiroso. The Rambam Siddur says v'yitei v'libeinu avoso v'yiroso. So Reb Chaim Heller says, Mir beten akoshehu from Yerushalayim. Over the Rambam, ge beten a ganze shir from Yerushalayim. That's the difference between the sina and sima. That's Reb Chaim Heller is from Reb Yeshabir. All right, so he lived in Boston, and in Boston he had some fantastic Talmidim. Reb Mota Greenblatt from Memphis, who's a Goan Olam, and he's still active, so I think they are in his late 80s. He's the rabbi of the South. He was there, and Reb Michal Feinstein, that's the Brisky Rav's son-in-law, Feinstein, that's related to Reb Moshe. He was learning there, and there were four or five Iluyim who were learning with Reb Baruch Baer, Reb Yeshabir in Boston, and listen to his Seder, this was after he took over Yeshiva University. He would leave Thursday and go back, they would drive back to Boston, or trains, and then on Thursday he would learn with like five or six of these Eluyish people, and he would learn all day Friday, Shabbos as long as he could, besides being a Rav, all day Sunday he would learn with them, and then on Monday morning he'd take a train to Yeshiva University. That was his Seder. Yeah, Mamish, 18 hours a day in learning in Boston with these people who became Mamish Gedolei Yisrael. That was his Seder. He just didn't take a rest when he went to Boston from the yeshiva. But finally, when his father was Nifter, he took over from him. And then his mother was still alive. I guess I should tell you the story. You'll love it. His mother was by herself, and apparently she was a little lonely. So Reb Yeshabir sometimes got tired in the day from all the shiurim, he said. So he went to visit his mother, and she was sitting on the sofa. So he put his head down on her lap, and he took a nap on his 75-year-old mother. He took a nap on her lap. When I heard that, I can't tell you, Schatoy, I used to do that for my mother too. It made her feel so good, you have no idea. And if any of you do have one like that, so maybe it might be a good idea. It makes them feel that you have children and they're still young, they're still mothers. So, but that's one of the things Rabbi Yosher Bear used to do that I heard. Okay. In Sunday. And Maria, you heard? Oh. And then he used to talk a lot to the Ors. He used to talk a lot to the RCA and different shalas. I once went to one. Well, I don't know how I got into there, but I went to, my wife was going to Stern College, so I probably went up to see her. Meantime, she's studying when I'm doing a daytime, so I hopped around into the RCA, even though I don't remember that, but I went in there, and he said to the Rabbonim how to get ready for Pesach, the different chumras, how to kasher pots, and that, so Reb Shmuel Shulman used to go. So, you know, I prepared this. It's not, you know, I just didn't hit the ground running. I put effort into preparing this thing. So Reb Shmuel Shulman told me that he went to one of those RCA meetings. So somebody raised the question, what about toothpaste on Shabbos? Can you use regular toothpaste? On Pesach, regular toothpaste. So Reb Yosher Bear said, it's not Roy Lachilis Kelev. Yeah, you could use it. So one of the rabbis said to him, Rebbe, he says, my dog eats toothpaste. So he says, Du hast glatt eine schöne dicke Hund. Ich habe eine schöne Hund. So. Okay. Now, getting into some of the Werther that he said, and those were some of the stories. Well, it keeps mixing in, but get back on it. I heard this. He said a shiur on the Rambam, I think it's Zayin Yesodei HaTorah, where the Rambam talks about the Shemus HaKadoshim, the different ones that are Shemus, Nimchokim, Enin Nimchokim, Avaya, Adni, Shakai, all those names. So he said a shiur on that. So incidental, this must have been in the Jewish part of it. But the first 4 hours he said halacha, then in the last two he said drush. I heard there was a yid here, I don't think any of you know him, his name was Levin. He used to give the hashkocha on Tulkov's horseradish. But he also had he was a marvelous speaker. He had shakas to a lot of shuls. So Lesof Yomav, he moved near Ner Yisrael. So I would go over and visit him. He told me that he went to a yahrzeit shiur that Reb Chaim Brisker said for the Beis HaLevi. This is not something new that Reb Yoshe Bear invented. This is a thing that's been going on in that family for many doros. And he said that he said the shiur was Reb Chaim's chiddush in Birchas HaTorah, that it's not just Stama Birchas HaMitzvah, it's a chelik of the Kriya, it's written in the Sefer. He heard that, and then the last, he didn't speak 2 hours drush, but he spoke a half hour, 20 minutes. He darshan to a little lighter than what he was. So there's something in the family, a tradition that on the yahrzeit, that's the way they do it. So one of the things he said was like this. The Targum Unklis says, Targum has never been Targum Shemus. Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. So it says, Kiyad al-Keis-Kor. So, Shem-Kor. So Targum says, Shchinta. He is Metargum Kor, Shchina. Yet, in Ozzy Vazimras Kor, that's the only two places where it says Kor in the Torah. There he says Kor. Yud-Kei. He says Kor. Rabbi Yoshe Bera, so why is he Metargum in here and not Metargum? He said there's a Machlokas Rashi in the Rambam. If you was Miskaven to write Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, but you only wrote Yud-Kei. So the Gemara's Lashon is Shehu Atzma, it's Kodesh, because Shehu Atzma Min Hashem. It's also, so Rashi learns, what does that mean? Rashi means there's a Shem Ben Arba, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, and there's a Shem Ben Shtayim, Yud-Kei. It's too shameless, so that's why it's Kaddish. The Rambam in Yad HaChazakah learns because Yud-Kei is a mitzas of the Shem Havaya, and that's why it's Kaddish. The Yud-Kei, even though the Vav-Kei is left off of it, it's still Kaddish because it's a mitzas of the Shem Havaya. Vaisdois Rashi holds that a mitzas of the Shem Havaya is not good. It's only because it's a separate Shem of Ben Shtayim. That's the shot here. Kiyad al keis kor, it should have been yud kei vav kei. But Rashi brings Amolek was machalik the Shem. So therefore, the Shem really is here a half of yud kei vav kei. So therefore, Rashi sheet is a half of yud kei vav kei is not Kaddish. But Ozi Vazimras kor is the Shem to start out with. That's the Shem, yud kei. So that's why there he doesn't metargum it, he says kor. But over here, he's saying because it's a mitzas of the Shem Havaya. That's why he's metargum it, shchita. He says shchita. That's one of Rabbi Yoshe Bera's Werther. And, okay. But I told Rabbi Weinberg this. He told me, it's ge'oinus. He says, but you don't have to come on to it. He says, I'll tell you a pashut or teretz. He says, the Rambam writes in Mor Nevuchim that the function of Unklus is to take away Hakshama, anthropomorphism, that like Hashem shouldn't have a goof. So, Ozi v'ziv maska, Hashem is my song. Is there any anthropomorphism in that? No. Aber Hashem is sitting on a bench, on a kisei? That sounds like he's got a balguf. So that's why he's targeted at Shrite. That's why the Targum does that. A lot of times he has problems all the time in by Yered Hashem and by Sodom. There's all kinds of Torah on that. I don't want to go to that. All right. Then I used to go to Hopkins. I went to Hopkins, but years later, I heard there was a Jewish club there, and I heard that Rabbi Dr. Moshe Tenger, a Talmud Muvik of him and Rabbi Moshe Feinstein's son-in-law, so he was speaking for the Jewish students. So he said over like this. There's a Gemara in Chorus of Ches. It says there were the Chachmei Atuna. They were the philosophers of Athens, the Chachmei Atuna. So Rabbi Yeshua Ben Chananya came there and he had a debate with them about that. All kinds. Some they said were foolish things, some were puzzles, some were this. So one of the things they asked him is, how do you salt salt? So he said, you take the shilia, that's a placenta. You guys have to be, what, there's a horse, a donkey, and a mule. Which one is sterile? Huh? The mule? So you take the placenta of a mule and you grind it up and you sprinkle it on salt, and that's how you salt salt. So he said, it's sterile. It doesn't have, it can't give birth. So he says, so does salt need salt? So what's the pshat in that? So he said that from Yashuber is like this. The Goyim said, you know, the Torah has been the salt of Jewish life for thousands of years. But nevertheless, it's wearing out a little bit. And you have to fortify it with Chochmas Yevonis. You have to introduce Greek science and philosophy into Torah to give it more of a flavor than it had. That's what he said. So Rabbi Yeshua answered him. He said, no. He said, anything that you add Torah is a self-contained system. Anything that you're going to add is only sterility, will not do anything. Now, of course, it's a beautiful vart, but you notice Rabbi Yoshe Beir and so many were using, you know, what are reasons? See, a lot of try, the Rambam is saying too, tamim and mitzvahs and all. I mean, it's not the pshat that without this time there wouldn't be a mitzvah. The mitzvahs, because that's what the Ratzon Hashem is. If you don't understand it and want to make it a little easier for you, all right, there's a somewhat of a tam. Maybe Greek philosophy might help you understand more what it is. But that's not the source of what the real thing is. The Torah is because it's in the Torah itself. It's the Melech of the Klal Yisrael. So you don't need that. Then he said that he went in through that if your Nenem Ba'olam is Evelo Bracha, you're Moil. So a Bracha takes off the Iser Mila. For Mila, you need a Pruta. You could be played a Hektish with a Pruta. Hektish of Manishka, a Pruta, Macholo. You can be Machalal Hektish with a Pruta. So he says, in what way is the Bracha like a Pruta? What a redemptive power does the Bracha have? So he gave a marshal like he gave a wave like this, that in the bracha, for instance, a person is thirsty, and there's water there. But the pshat is, you're going to pay a price. The price, the proof that you pay is, you have to stay thirsty for a little bit longer until you could get to the water and wait another few seconds to make the bracha and do that. That's all part of the proof. But he said there's even a bigger part of it. I mean, this called the tzimtzum, with holding back. He called that, that's the pruta, he says, is tzimtzum. So listen, he gave two mishalim for that. One happens to be in the different brachas, but anyway, so he said, there's a tzimtzum like this, that... the Netziv, I heard the story was on the tape, I heard it. And the Netziv, it was the Rosh Shiva of Elijah, and his great-great-great-grandfather, as that was Reb Chaim's grandfather and Reb Yosher Ber's. So the Netziv on Shavuos of Elijah Yeshiva, after the Suda, on Shavuos first night, they were dancing. The Netziv, Rabbeisai, he says, Lomer Tansen, Rabbi Yoshi Ber said, if any yeshiva had the right to dance for a simcha for Torah, it was Valarjan. So the Valarjan, they started dancing, and he says, Und von a klein tier is gekommen a shegetzo vom post. Out of a door, one of the doors, a little guy from the U.S. post office, not the U.S., the post office, came with a telegram for the Netziv. So the Netziv said to open up the telegram. He read the telegram, put it in his pocket, and they continued dancing. And the second day, they were Mesameach. And after Havdalah, he fainted, the Netziv. And the telegram, it said that his only sister died. And he was able to go through... That's tzimtzum. That's with holding it back. And not only holding it back and not crying, but holding it back and even celebrating. That's part of the price. That's part of the thing that we have to do for Kiyum Mitzvahs. And then he said a thing that's more of in our time. He said there was a lady in Boston who died, heir of Pesach. And the Purim was before the Shkia, and they sat Shiva a few minutes, and then they went to the Seder. And at the Seder, it was her gefilte fish, and her soup, and her chicken, and her coals, and she's in the grave, and they're eating her food. And the husband is saying, Shechiyanu v'tiyamanu v'giyanu lazman hazeh. How happy it is that we attain this day. My wife's in the grave. Aber ich bin misameach. That's the pruta that you pay to take off the frini sorin, to take off the, here's the broch, the bari priagofen. All right, the shechiyano is not a brichanenin. All right, that's one thing. And then he said, he touched up that a kol brocha that doesn't have a shem u'malchus ain't a brocha. That means every bracha has to have Adni and Melech. And if it doesn't have Adni and Melech, it's not, even though Shmon Esrei Tesis says doesn't say Melech. So Tesis says Avram, is he called Hashem Melech or Adni, so that's for, there is Adni over there too. That's, but every bracha needs Shem U'malchus. So he says, what does it need? What's the Shem U'malchus for Adni and Melech? So he says like this, that says, V'koni HaKol, V'zor Chastevus, V'koni HaKol, Rav Hashem owns everything. He owns the world. So V'koni, So that's part of the Odin. Odin means he's a bialim in the world. Rabbi Yoshi Ber said, when Reb Chaim would say this over, he must have gotten a little bit from his Eda. He said, when Reb Chaim would say it over, there was a Yid who was at the shir who said to Reb Chaim, Rebbe, that's good that Reb Hashem is coined in the world if umen coined b'shvach keli. But if you hold ain umen coined b'shvach keli, so how does Reb Hashem coined in the world? So Reb Chaim said to him, Shaita. He says, Shaita. He says, Dorten einer git the chaimer or the artisan get the craft, the skill. Over daughter Reb Hashem can give him side of chaimer and side of craft. As I say, it's nicht kein kasha in ganzen. That's Odin. That's Odin. But then there's also Melech. Melech is two things. He says you could poach a deer in the king's forest, like Robin Hood did. He didn't say this. Robin Hood in the Sherwood Forest. You could kill a deer. But the deer is only the possession of the king. But you know, you could go into the king's throne and steal the king. This is the way he said it. On Ganvenen, the Melech Schepter, the scepter, because the Melech Schepter, he says, you could Ganvenen a Schepter. He says, that's not the pshat you stole a possession of the king like a deer. That's the pshat you took, you're chepping the Malchus itself. You're stealing the Malchus itself. The name of the Melech is on the scepter. The name of the Melech is not on the deer. It was on the scepter. He says, when you make a bracha, shakodi ebed voro, the pshat is, you're drinking the Rebetishlam scepter. It's been spiltzach mit the Rebetishlam. That's why you need that bracha. That's why every bracha has to be matir side of Odin and side of Melech in the bracha. Because everything is holy. It's mamish, belongs to the Melech, like his throne and the scepter. That's it, he said. Then he said like this, in Hallel, in Olenu, he said like this, I have a good one. It says, keep, Kilachos Sichra Koberach Tishava Koloshim. So he said like this, that human beings, it could have been that the Loshim could have been said a little bit differently. Like Itaka says it in Nishmas, it says it a little bit differently. But he says, every human being has two essential drives. He says, he has a drive to worship. People want to have a meaning to the world. What is this all about? That's why they took Avodah Zarah. People feel insecure. They need something to hold on to. They need something to worship. And secondly, people have a need to communicate. That's why artists, people write literature and music, they compose music and make art. People need to express their inner feelings. Oh, he says, this need should be to you. That's what it says. Ki lecha ti shava koloshin expression. And v'cha tichra koberach. And worshiping is that need, but let that need only be fulfilled to you. In Nishmas, this is Nishmas here. Nishmas is a little differently, and I don't want to go into what the chilek is like this. But he said like this. Hallel, there's two hallels. We just finished the Seder. There's two hallels. Hallel HaMitzri and Hallel HaGodol. Hallel HaMitzri is what we say every Rosh Chodesh. That's how every Yom Tov. Hallel HaMitzri. But to the Seder at night, we said Hallel HaGodol. Hallel HaGodol doesn't end Melech Mehulo Batishbochos. It goes into Nishmas. You say Nishmas. And then you say Yishtabach. And then you add Melech Mehulo Batishbochos. That's Hallel HaGodol. We don't always say that, but we say that sometimes. What's the difference between the two? He says, Hallel is that you give Hashem Shvach V'Hodar. You praise him and you thank him. Those are two things. The brisk, that's the famous brisk. You give Shvach V'Hodar. Hallel HaGodol says it's impossible to give Hashem, praise him, and thank him. We're only human beings. We're only human. How can we really fully appreciate everything that Hashem Yisbarach is doing for us? He says, but then it says, Evorim shepilakta bo. Heim heim yevorchu. Somehow or other, something can come from the Evorim. But this is the punchline coming up. So he says, over the Lubavitcher in the Hasidim too, they say, Uvachein yishtabach shimcha. We say yishtabach shimcha, but they say Uvachein yishtabach shimcha. So Rav Yoshe Ber said, that's the svar. He says, Ilu filu moshe einon mashim. Aber yishtabach is hispael. That means reflexive. Your name should be praised of its own accord. That's why we say, since we can't do it, therefore it should be praised of its own self. That's the meaning of Hallel HaGodol. That's the uniqueness of Hallel HaGodol, which we said to the Seder. I just, at the end of it, I can't resist the temptation. You know, it says, I'll call Divrei Shiras Nishtachas Tavi Ben Yishai. So the Gaon says, what are we thanking Hashem for the Shirim Shesbochas of David HaMelech? So the Gaon says, because you really, when you praise Hashem, you always have the problem of Siyamta Shvacha tomorrow. You could have said a higher word. If you say Hashem is tall, and above all the tallness, but you could have said he's higher. And you could say he's elevated. You have to know the word in Lashon HaKodesh that you can't say one word that could be higher than that. So David HaMelech was able to find out, Tillim, he was able to find out all the words that were at the very peak of it. That's what the Gaon says. But my Rosh Yeshiva said, Pasha, I don't know if it's from his or from Sabotka, he says, not doesn't mean because of, on top of. In other words, we shouldn't be just satisfied with the Tehillim, but it's our chiyuv to tell even more than David HaMelech said. That means al means above and beyond David HaMelech. So that's the sof of the Melech Mishpachos. Running to the, I don't know if the deadline is 11 or when I finish, but then he said, Dr. Sona said she was coming, but I'm glad she's not here. he said, Kovata Itim HaTorah. The Rambam says in the first parak of Talmud Torah, you have to be called Chayav Lekvoa Itim HaTorah. So, you know, Rav Yoshe Ber, he's talking to students, Bachrim, in YU. So he says, there's two ways to meet a girl. There's two ways to meet a girl. You could pick one up in a bar, or you could make a date with somebody. You make a date, you call up, you get a shotgun, you marry that, but you make a date, or you stop, you see somebody at a wedding, okay, let's go out. The way he says, you know, one, you could see what the consequences of one could be. A date, you know, about it, what is. So he says, Kavati Itim HaTorah, we're going to make a date with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're going to, the two of us are going to be chummy together. We're going to have a date. We're going to, that's Kavati Itim HaTorah. You have the special time. You know, I'm going to meet you at such and such a place and such a time. And you keep it every time. You don't disappoint him. You don't break the dates. The same thing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If it's Kavata Itim, you don't break the dates. And then he said, if you guys are too young, but he said, if you have a chavrusa, what's the date there? He says, then you're on a double date. He says, a double date used to be when two people would go out together at a place. That was the reason maybe they weren't, I don't know, two boys and two girls, each, not they inter-switched each other, but they went out. They went out and they saw each, they sat on a double date, he says. So when you're learning b'chavrusa, it's been up a double date. That's b'chavrusa, a double date with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's the female and we're the male on the date. Then this is Norman Lamb said that one time in the shir, a bacher asked Rav Yosher Ber after he'd been saying a beautiful shtickel Torah in the shir, and he didn't have a teretz on it, and he said the shir is finished, the shir is over. So, the meaning, it's not right. Oh, I got it. This one. When Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein, his son-in-law, had a boy, Rabbi Yosher Ber, went to the bris. It was in New York. He went to the bris, and he said a shtickel Torah, and somebody asked him a kasha on what he said, and he didn't have a teretz. No, he says, no, it's for following. So it was on a Thursday, so he went with his driver. They drove back up to Boston, someplace in the Connecticut Turnpike at 3 a.m. in the morning. It rang a following a teretz on Akasha. So he called up this person. He found out who the one to ask him Akasha was. He woke him up, and he told him a teretz on Akasha. That's the chadivus of learning that he had. All right, to wake somebody up to tell them the parents, I don't know if that's the right thing, but Rav Sternheld used to call me up 2 o'clock in the morning, and he said to me, Nachman, he says, I have a kavaldik of teretz, Akasha. So he said, if you're awake, I didn't do anything wrong, you're awake. And if you're sleeping, you should have been awake and learning. So he said, I didn't do anything wrong. So that's what, so Rabbi Yosher Ber, so this mice of interrupting and ending the shir is a hafligika story. It's almost unbelievable. Rav Chaim Brisker, when he got married, his first shtela was to fahare the kids, talmidim to come into Balozhin Yeshiva, a bochin, like Yeshiva University has a bochin, I think Ner Yisrael has a bochin, somebody to teach him, his job was to be bochin. So Rabbi Shenker in town of Asholem, his Zeta went to Balozhin, and this is one of the kashas Rav Chaim would ask kashas that you didn't need to know Gemara. You just had to be a think, have a good head. He asked him a kasha when Moshe Rabbeinu came in with the mate and he threw it down and it became a nochash. So there's a rule, Gemara says that kishuf doesn't exist in water. It'll turn back to its original shape. So before the chartumim get twisted out of shape, let them do this. Let them take a bucket of water and put the snake in there. If it stays a snake, it's a raya, then it's an S. But if it turns back into a stick, then it's not kishuf, and they can make kishuf too. Why did they try that test? And the answer has to be, minei ube. You can't tell me there was no water in the palace. You can't tell me there's no buckets. You can't tell me kleidikai like that. You have to answer it, minei ube. The answer is, you want to tell me the answer, you want to think about it. I'll tell you the answer. The answer is, because it's no raya. Because maybe Moshe had a nochosh, and he turned it into a snake, into a mate b'nes. So now that won't work. Now, if the thing was, if the thing stays a snake, it's no raya that it's going to be that way. because that's what it always was. In other words, if it doesn't go back to its original thing, that's how Moshe could have tricked them and not knowing this. They wouldn't have been able to tell because it could have been originally a nochash that he turned into a snake, and then therefore it's emesa and nes, and if you put it into water, it won't, if it turns back into a snake, is doch good because it won't turn back into a snake because it's not that. Anyway, so Reb Chaim went for a probe in Balazhin, and that the probe was Reb Lezer Moshe Pinsker, one in the back house that goes, one of the great Gedolim, and the Netziv, and someone else for Herod Reb Chaim. He said a beautiful shir, and in the middle of the shir, he remembered a Yerushalmi that was farkered from what he said. And he said, no, the shir is ended. It's up geschlagen. They hired him because he's such an ish emes. They didn't know the Yerushalmi. He knew the Yerushalmi. He could have pulled it over their eyes and gotten away with it. But he said that the shir is wrong because it's farkered from Yerushalmi. All right, we're getting down to about, that's the thing, Boston. Is a couple, then I heard these two things from, I think this might be in Herschel Schechter's book, I'm not sure. It didn't happen with him, but he heard it from Chaim. Chaim Herzog was the United States ambassador to Israel. That's Rav Herzog's son, was ambassador to America, an Israeli ambassador to America. So John Foster Dulles was 80 years old, and he called Secretary of State, and he called Herzog in to his office, the Israeli ambassador into his office, and said, you are the people of the book. What does it mean? And if the days of our life, it says, and the days of our life were 70, and if by strength 80, the Gvur Shmoni, like we say, the Gvur Shmoni, what does that mean? So Herzog said to him like this, Rashi learns, okay, Rashi learns it's like the DNA, that if you're born with a strong constitution, you'll make it up into the Gvuris. But Herzog said, the pshat is like this. When you get in the 60s and you work hard, in the 70s, you don't retire and not become Secretary of State. You take the job with all the responsibility and you work hard and you harder and harder. Then you can make it into the 80s and into the 90s. But if you decide to slack off and take it easy and watch television or whatever you're going to read, books, whatever you're going to do, you're not going to make it. And then the last thing I'm going to tell you is, then Reb Yosher Ber, this is beautiful, he said, David HaMelech says, Nafshi Lashem, Mishomri Maboker, Shomri Maboker. So he gave a marshal how David HaMelech feels. He says, the Alti Yidden, I don't know today it works so good, but he says, I'm all the old Jews. They couldn't sleep at night. They didn't have sleeping pills and things like that. So they were frightened from the darkness. They didn't have lamps necessarily, lights going on. They were frightened. And who knows? Maybe their time is coming, and it's dark, and nobody's around, and it's scary. So they would sit at the window, and the east window, and wait for the sun to come up. So he says, that's what David HaMelech says. Nafshi Lashem Mishomrim Maboker, Shomrim Maboker. He can't wait to have HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's day and night, he's waiting. He can't sleep, he can't do this. Only Mishomrim Maboker. I'm like that old man who wants to sit and see daylight to know that he's still alive. And that's the way David HaMelech felt. There's a lot more, but I've sort of went over the time, and I'm sorry, but I think there are a lot of yard sites coming on next week in New York or wherever it is, but this will have to satisfy.